Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The GB Files, the ultimate Packers podcast.
Welcome aboard. I'm your host, Sean Drotar, and with week 4 in the books, it's time to take a spin around the NFL and tackle the biggest stories with the coach, Brian Billick, joining us as he does every week to share his special insights regarding what happened last weekend and what's to come this weekend. And today in this week's rapid fire overtime segment, the Monday morning quarterback himself, Peter King, will join us. But as always, we start with the big interview. So let's get to it.
The big interview.
Joining us now from Fox 11 Green Bay is their sports director, Josh Moser. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at TheMozKnows. That's M-O-Z-K-N-O-W-Z. That's a cool Twitter name. That's more cool than mine. How's it going, Josh?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And this is such an interesting team. Now, the byes are upon us. Some teams hate them. Some teams love them. At this point, this seems like a pretty early one for the Packers. How does that sit? Would this team rather have it later, or are there a couple things that they'd like to work on that actually maybe this doesn't hit them at a bad time?
You know, it actually doesn't hit them at too bad of a time. Obviously, you want it later in the season. It's now 13 straight. In the locker room yesterday, talking with the guys, and they're basically saying, you know, we need to get a first-round bye in the playoffs or else it's 17 weeks of straight playing. But this team was banged up in week 3, and the bye week really came at a perfect time because a lot of guys were injured. We had 4 defensive starters for the Packers, including Clay Matthews, Morgan Burnett, the Troy Guyon. I mean, those are 3 key pieces that they didn't have. And we saw the Lions give the Packers a scare at Lambeau Field, where they have a distinct home field advantage. So in a few ways, it was good because it allows the defense to get healthy, a couple bangs and bruises here. They'll also get a couple of guys back from suspension. And it really gives them, you know, 3 weeks of film to really look at, take a deep look at themselves and assess. They lost the game to the Vikings. Vikings now 4-0, but that's a game the Packers believe that they should have won, even though it was a road game. So overall, they're happy with the bye week, but they know they're going to need one later in the season as well.
2-1 now at that bye. Now they get a chance to come back and, as you pointed out, maybe get a little bit healthier. That's good. Some of the challenges looking forward. Aaron Rodgers, really fascinating. In the first halves of games this season, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. The second halves, no touchdowns, 1 interception. What are you seeing from the offense as they try to get themselves sort of untracked? They've had moments. Obviously, they were good against the Lions. They got points. But this is sort of a peculiar kind of split and certainly not what we were used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers.
No, and to be honest, I think there are some unfair expectations of this offense. You know, they're high-powered. Everyone wants to see 30-plus points every game. But Mike McCarthy is a very conservative play caller, and that's why we've seen a lot of Aaron Rodgers' touchdowns in the first half. They had the big lead over the Lions in week 3, and they ran the ball, you know, essentially the entire second half, running the clock, controlling the time of possession. And we almost saw the Lions come back, but that's just the conservative nature. They still got the W, so I think that there are some misleading stats in there, but this team wants to start fast. They want to score the first time they get the ball. They want the team that they're playing against to play from behind, but that's a big question in Green Bay that everyone keeps asking is, when are we going to see them open it up? Now, Jordy Nelson is getting healthier. He's played now in 3 games, didn't play at all in the regular season coming off of that torn ACL he suffered in the preseason last year. So I think the playbook might open up a little bit more, and we'll see the Packers start taking more risks. We saw them go for 4th down early in Minnesota. It ended up costing them the game. If they would have kicked a field goal, it would have been a tie game. Could have been a different outcome there. But look for the play calling to get less conservative as this team really establishes their offensive identity. They need a couple more players to come along. The offensive line adjusting now with Josh Sitton no longer in the picture, cut, you know, right at the final 53-man roster. So this team's still trying to figure it out. But again, I mean, roughly it's only 25% of the way through the season, but that's definitely a concern and something to keep an eye on, even though those stats, I believe, are misleading.
I think that you're onto something there. And I think when fans look at it, they see, of course, Aaron Rodgers. They see Jordy Nelson back healthy. Randall Cobb's there. Eddie Lacy. Now they know they have, they're trying to work with some different tight ends there that seem to have some promise as well. So they look at it and say, yeah, well, how come this team isn't blowing everyone's doors off? But it is different. And there's got to be a lot of enthusiasm because Nelson does look great. Obviously, he is working himself into form, but you wouldn't know it given his performances thus far. And Eddie Lacy, a notoriously slow starter, is averaging 5 yards a carry a couple of games in and has a couple of long runs mixed in there as well. So it seems that everything on the offense, even though it's not dazzling, does seem to be moving in the right direction. But as far as the defense goes, so far it seems as if they're getting enough pressure on the quarterback. There's 10 sacks in the first three games, which is pretty solid. Is this a team that when you look at it, the Jaguars and the Lions aren't exactly impressive? The Vikings are, and that's the one game they've lost. Is this more or less just a team that looks essentially on track and people are just expecting a bit too much in general from a team that's 2-1, only three games into the season?
Right. I think it's a little bit of both. Obviously, the expectations in Green Bay, especially at Super Bowl or bust, as cliche as it is, but the people in this town live for this team and the sustained success over the last 10 years. I believe that that's actually attainable, but it's really only been the one Super Bowl during that time. But the biggest piece that people aren't seeing is Sam Shields. He is a lockdown corner. He's the team's best cornerback. He has been out with a concussion. This is his second one in 9 months. He's had five of them. He's still in the protocol process now, 3 weeks in, and he is the piece that this team is missing. They went out last year and got two cornerbacks in the first and second round. Demarius Randall played safety at Arizona State. They moved him to corner as soon as he got into the league, their first round pick. And as soon as he's guarding, you know, a team's top receiver, we saw Stephon Diggs just light him up. We saw Marvin Jones go for 200 yards against him. So he is still developing, and it's a lot to put on him, really a second-year guy playing a position, really is only his second year coming over from safety, where Sam Shields has just been a staple, and it shows how good he is in that pressure that you're seeing on the quarterback. It's just they've got to find a way to keep those guys covered down the field and stop giving up the big plays. But if Sam Shields is on this field, you're going to see a lot more sacks because the guys up front, although they're thin, they've got good pieces up there, but the strength of this defense is in the linebacking core. Clay Matthews missing the last game with an ankle and a hamstring injury. You know, you want to see him back. I mean, you've got to find 52 on the field. So depending on how good he is to go this week against the Giants, I think that's going to be something to pay very close attention to. And I know that the Giants are paying very close attention to that as well.
Yeah, I think when you look at the way it breaks down with the receiving and in the backfield, now they have a very stern test in Odell Beckham Jr. Now, he had the worst game of his career this weekend and really got under the skin of his teammates, quite frankly. There's some frustration there. But the talent is absolutely undeniable. And Eli Manning, though he's off to a very mediocre start, he's obviously dangerous, and the Packers know what he can do. Going into these next couple games, the Giants and then the Cowboys, knowing that they're going to be refreshed, the Packers have to feel that this is the opportunity now where the rubber hits the road and they can start making inroads towards the Vikings once again.
Absolutely. And these games are at home, which is the most important start. I mean, they had their first two games on the road. It's the first time since 1924 that it's happened. But to be able to stay in Green Bay for four out of the next 5 weeks, I mean, these are all games that this team must win. And I think really these games at home are going to decide that defensive identity. I believe Eli Manning is still an elite quarterback in this league. Dak Prescott, I mean, I think he's really impressed. I think he's got the second highest QBR rating in the league right now as a rookie. Tony Romo then possibly coming back as well. I think it's week seven. So I'm not sure if they're going to see him potentially at Lambeau, but yeah, Odell Beckham Jr., no doubt about it. I mean, he has talent through the roof. And we saw the Vikings last night really work their scheme. Mike Zimmer, just a defensive mastermind. That's why they gave him the head coaching position. We've seen how solid that defense can be. And the coaching staff, Dom Capers, definitely taking a look to see what they did. They brought two guys on him. I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay tries to do a lot of similar things. We'll see how the Giants adjust. But, you know, it's it's scary, even though this team is an offensive team, it's almost as if you need 30 points to win, to give yourself a chance to win. And we saw Denver last year winning the Super Bowl. It's the defense, again, cliche, defense wins championships. They're going to need this defense to play well. And if they can do that, you know, they have an opportunity, if they can stay healthy, to make a run once again this year.
He is Josh Moser, the sports director at Fox 11 Green Bay up there in Wisconsin. And you can follow him on Twitter at the Mose Knows. That's with the Z's instead of the S's. Josh, thanks so much for the time. Looking forward to seeing the Packers, one of the teams where you take a look at the beginning of the year and say, this is a team that can go get to and win the Super Bowl. Now that they're going to get back from that bye, we're going to get to see what they can do. It'll be exciting to watch and exciting to follow. Thank you for your time today.
No problem.
We will be back on the other side with the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
And now it's time for the coach, Brian Billick, who's brought to you by SeatGeek. Visit SeatGeek.com or download the SeatGeek app. Make sure you and your family are getting the best deal on sports and concert tickets every time with SeatGeek. Coach, when you use SeatGeek, what makes that so great?
Well, there's got too many things to cover in just one show. I mean, the great thing is the how broad-based in terms of the different ticket agencies that it brings together for you. You're going to get the best choice. You're going to see exactly where the seats are. You're going to get a rating on how good a deal this is. And most importantly, every transaction is guaranteed by SeatGeek.
Well, I know I use it, and if you use it as well, you can now today use the promo code Billick, and then you'll get $20 back on your first purchase with the SeatGeek app. So do what I do. Do what the coach does. Use SeatGeek. Make sure you get your family the best seats for concerts, sports, and everything else that you can go enjoy. Coach, this is another fascinating week in the NFL, as it always is. But I'll start with the most recent game, the Monday night game last night. We watched the Minnesota Vikings leap to still continue their run. They're now 4-0. There have been essentially a surprise for everybody, in as much as the pieces seem to keep falling off the car here and there, but the car keeps going at full speed. You know, what kind of job are they getting done up there in Minnesota? It's extremely impressive.
Yeah, it's spectacular, and it's because you can base it on defense. This is, for my money, maybe the best defense in the National Football League. They're built right, a dominant front seven, a secondary that doesn't give up big plays. That was the thing last night that jumped out at you, and you knew it was going to be a problem for the New York Giants. They had one big play, the big 67-yarder that they were able to hit, and that was it. You have to try to generate some big plays particularly when you're going to go on the road. And then Minnesota, although not overwhelmingly on offense, but were able to, you know, kind of keep the drives alive. They were 8 of 16 on third down, so they kind of kept the drives alive. They did not turn the ball over. Sam Bradford was excellent that way. And they got just enough out of the running game, which they stuck with 30-plus carries for over 100 yards, that the Giants just couldn't combat that on the road. That's going to be the formula that Minnesota will win with all year long.
Looking over at the NFC East now that the Giants lost that game, they are at 2-2. They started out well, and I think people thought that maybe this was going to all fit for them going over the season. Now they've lost to everybody else in the divisions on a winning streak. Philly, of course, still leads now with the bye week. They're still unbeaten at 3-0. But there isn't a team with a losing record. Now we're only four games in. But have we underestimated the NFC East, or has this been something of a beneficiary of the schedule?
Yeah, to a degree. We'll see when they start really taking each other on. We're going to find out about Philadelphia Eagles, who right now look pretty darn good. I mean, when you look at what happened over the weekend, how impressive is Pittsburgh and what they did to Kansas City? Well, what does that tell us about Philadelphia, who beat them last week and held them to 3 points? How good are, by way of example as well, the Oakland Raiders, who we were kind of dismissive of the fact that because they lost at home to Atlanta. They go on the road and beat an undefeated Baltimore team. How good does that tell us Atlanta is? So, you know, you can draw some comparisons. Philadelphia's for real. We're going to find out going forward just how much for real. And the Dallas Cowboys, again, the schedule has not been that taxing for them. But by the same token, you know, they look pretty darn good with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back that they lead the league in third down conversions and they've got the top runner in the National Football League. So, yeah, particularly with New York and Dallas, these teams are for real. Washington still seems to be trying to get its footing. Don't know about them, and we'll see. You know, obviously they have a chance to continue to get better. as we move along here. But the division looks very, very good. But I don't know that there's any dominating teams in it. Outside, we'll see how good Philly is. But I don't know that there is any dominating team or division in the NFC right now.
Let's take a look over at those Steelers in the AFC. Now they got Le'Veon Bell back, and you could see what a difference that makes. Pittsburgh's offense essentially just rolled, and this is something that they could do. You saw Le'Veon Bell line up even as a wide receiver for more than a few snaps to make sure that they mixed things up and were able to still use D'Angelo Williams, give the Chiefs a lot of different looks. When you look at the AFC now with Pittsburgh kind of being all together again, Pittsburgh, New England, Houston, all leading their divisions at 3-1, Denver at 4-0. Which of these are contenders, and which of these maybe still have a little bit of work to do to get that way?
Well, I think they're all contenders. Denver playing great defense and running the ball, and notwithstanding the quarterback position, but they both, Paxton Lynch, looked very calm when he went in. Trevor Siemian obviously has played very solid. The Pittsburgh Steelers still remain to me, you know, this could be a truly dominant team, but here they're a week removed from losing 34-3 to the Philadelphia Eagles. So we still have some sorting out to do. We're only at the quarter mark. We'll know more at the halfway mark, obviously. And for the Steelers coming up, this week they're going to play the Jets. How real are the Jets? Another team that a couple weeks ago, me included, were saying, wow, this team is a Super Bowl caliber team. Now they can't even get out of their way, having nine interceptions in the last two games. But we're going to find out about the Steelers because they're going to play the Jets. They have to go to Miami, and it's always tough going down into Miami to play. And then they're going to play the New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens. So we're going to know by the midway point just how real and consistent the Pittsburgh Steelers are. Was that 34-3 beatdown by the Philadelphia Eagles the proverbial wake-up call, or was it an indicator that maybe there are still some chinks in the armor?
Well, one of the teams that you mentioned also earlier that surprised, I think, a lot of folks, the Atlanta Falcons are 3-1. There is an impression that maybe they're doing it with smoke and mirrors to an extent. They lost that opening game to Tampa Bay when Jameis Winston just looked electric, and he hasn't looked the same since. But they're averaging almost 40 points a game. That's probably not sustainable. But given the shootouts they've been in, you wonder if that's almost what they're going to have to do to keep winning. So if you're the Atlanta Falcons, what do you do to keep everything rolling, knowing that you probably can't, barring something very strange, keep putting up 40 a game?
Yeah, well, the most impressive thing to me is the fact that the wins they've gotten on the road at Oakland and New Orleans. I know New Orleans isn't a great team, but still a tough place to play. And then a very physical Carolina Panther team. And to win where they did with Matt Ryan having a record year, he's on pace to just blow away. 2012 was his best year. We had, 4,700 yards, and I think it was 36 touchdowns, something like that. He's on pace to just blow that away. You're right. It's unrealistic to think they're going to stay at this pace. But with Devontae Freeman in the backfield, with Mohamed Sanu opposite the receiver, they're, and the offensive line playing very well, this is a very legitimate offensive group. Now, defensively, they may have to score 40 points a game because defensively I think they still may struggle a little bit. Remember now, they did give up 33 points to Carolina and 32 points to New Orleans. That's Drew Brees and Cam Newton. I get that. But they also gave up 28 points to the Oakland Raiders and 31 points to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they're still struggling defense. The key is, can they increase their pass rush ability a little bit, get a little bit better that way? But I think this is a team that certainly can be a factor.
The Patriots have Tom Brady back in action this week. They play the Browns, who are winless. This doesn't look like a real good matchup for the Browns, but it looks like a great place for Tom Brady to kickstart his 2016 campaign. Do you expect any sort of growing pains or any sort of wobbliness coming back, or is Brady and Belichick, is this a well-oiled enough machine that it's going to look like he never left?
Oh, no, yeah, more of the latter, although there may be some hiccups on the way. I look at this like a Broadway play. What do? You take it out of town to get it up to snuff, and you bring it back to town into New York. Well, this is their off-Broadway, out-of-town debut, good place to go, play a Cleveland team. I don't know. I mean, the football gods just, I don't know what they have against the Cleveland Browns. The tight losses they've had, and now they've got to take on the New England Patriots. Oh, by the way, Tom Brady coming back. Tough combination. Obviously a good team for New England to open with on the road. Dust off the rust, so to speak. And I imagine it'll be a game plan that's heavy. Cleveland's near last in the league, or one of the worst teams in the league against the run, so I imagine we're going to see a lot of LeGarrette Blount. Let Tom Brady get his feet underneath him. And so that when they come back, we'll see exactly after. Because, you know, they got some interesting games after this, and they're obviously poised for it. Most, not the least of which, they're going to play the Cincinnati Bengals. They got to play the Pittsburgh Steelers at Pittsburgh. And then they get to go back at those Buffalo Bills who they just lost to. So they're going to be challenged coming up, but I'm sure they're excited about it.
Well, we've been talking about the good thing teams have been doing, and there's a lot of those stories around the league, but one of the ones that stands out is a team that's not getting it done, and that is the Arizona Cardinals, now 1-3. Carson Palmer in the concussion protocol. They have a Thursday night football game coming up. On the surface, it doesn't look like there's that much wrong with the Cardinals, but something is obviously off kilter, Coach. What are you seeing?
Well, they're a little like the Carolina Panthers. I was talking all day yesterday on my shows for the NFL Network. People say, okay, what's wrong with the Carolina Panthers? And when you look at them, they're not far off. I mean, they're not running the ball quite as well as last year. They're not quite as good on third down. They're not quite as explosive. Defensively, they're not quite as dominant. They're good, but not quite what we saw last year. And you add all those up, and all of a sudden now, that means some losses. The Arizona Cardinals appear the same way. They just don't seem to be as good as they were last year. Still solid, but not good enough, obviously, to get a win. And now they've played a couple good teams here. The New England Patriots, obviously, Buffalo in a little bit of a role. The Rams, it's always a tough defensive struggle with the Rams. I'm not quite sure what's going to have to happen. The offensive line's going to have to step up. They're going to have to start getting down the field a little bit more with that gifted receiving core they have. And that front seven in particular, the defense needs to start showing up and doing the things that it did last year in terms of putting pressure on the quarterback and stuffing the running game.
He is the coach, Brian Billick, and you can use that same last name, Billick, on the SeatGeek app right now and get $20 back on your first purchase with the SeatGeek app. Coach, thank you so much for the insight. We'll catch you next week.
Sounds good.
Coming up next, we'll go into overtime with Peter King.
Overtime.
This week, we're delighted to be joined by Peter King, editor-in-chief of MMQB.com. That's Monday Morning Quarterback, the site that's become synonymous with the best and deepest NFL coverage anywhere. Peter's brought to us by SeatGeek, because it's football season. The NFL and college football are in full swing. Baseball's playoffs are upon us, so be sure to visit SeatGeek.com and download the SeatGeek app for all the best ticket deals. Remember, the NHL and NBA seasons are on the horizon, too, so make sure you and your family are getting the best deals for the most exciting sporting events every time with SeatGeek. How are you doing today, Peter?
Everything's going great. Thank you for hosting me today. This is going to be fun.
Our pleasure. Well, I'll go with a couple quick ones for you. We'll start right here. Odell Beckham Jr. suggested that he's being targeted by officials after his three-catch, 23-yard performance on Monday Night Football. Do the Zebras really let defenders have their way with him more than any other receiver?
No, but that was a marginal call against the Minnesota Vikings that Xavier Rhodes could have been flagged for hitting Beckham out of bounds. But my feeling is that once you start to get this paranoia that the league is against you, that the officials are against you, I think Odell Beckham needs to understand that every official in this league is judged on every call he makes. And if he goes over the line on Odell Beckham Jr. to either call something against him or to do something out of the ordinary against one player, A, he's not going to get any playoff assignments. B, he's not going to be in the league for very long. So I think most of that is a figment of Odell Beckham's imagination.
Well, let's stick with wide receivers. Josh Gordon will stay on the reserve suspended list after saying he would enter rehab. Now, that seems like the right thing for him. I don't think there's any question about that. And while there's no need for the Browns to move on immediately, is this relationship irrevocably damaged?
I think the Browns, especially the current iteration of the front office and coaching staff, I had invested so much time and energy, and basically it's about the fourth major stumble that he's had, Josh Gordon has had. And my feeling is that at this point, especially when you're trying to build a program, you are getting ready to have him come onto your team after being let back in football by the NFL after his year-long suspension. And you have to ask yourself, why are we in this business? Are we in this business to try to get somebody off the substances that have bedeviled him for most of his adult life? Or are we in here to win football games? Well, you know, I think most teams would say maybe one, two, or three strikes, okay, we can take it from a great player, but no matter how great he is, at some point we got to pull the plug. In my opinion, the Browns have reached that point. I don't know if they are going to, get rid of him after he finishes this rehab, but in my opinion, they should.
Coming off their shocking shutout win over the Patriots, the Bills coach Rex Ryan said that he was, quote, BSing about having sources that tipped him off about Jacoby Brissett starting at quarterback. Now, with Rex, you know there's a lot of gamesmanship. Is this just fun, or does this maybe start to undermine the trust between the Bills, Ryan, and the media that covers him?
I mean, anybody who I read his transcript from the press conference where he claimed to know what was going on with the Patriots. There's no way he was going to know what goes on with the Patriots. There's no way he's going to know who's going to start for the Patriots. He says that almost in a comedic way, and it's just part of his shtick. I mean, maybe it's because I've known Ryan for a long time, and I've listened to him for a long time, but he's one of those coaches that about 85% of what he says I think just goes in one ear and out the other, because a lot of it is so silly. I just don't think it matters. And I don't think that we ought to be taking seriously when he gets on the conference call and asks Julian Edelman, hey, Julian Waltatulski from the Buffalo News, are you playing quarterback this week? I mean, it's a shtick. It's fun. So I don't think it's to be taken very seriously.
Well, keeping in the taking maybe a little gamesmanship being taken seriously, Josh Norman really went after the Carolina Panthers after their loss this season, needling them, saying, quote, you get what you pay for. Now, obviously, they parted ways with him in the offseason in one of sort of the most bizarre and notable stories in the offseason. How badly did the Panthers realistically now regret that decision?
Well, I know Dave Gettleman quite well. He's general manager of the Panthers. And I can tell you pretty categorically that Dave Gettleman does not regret the decision. And in fact, you know, let's think about, I just looked this up yesterday. You know, let's think about the Carolina Panthers right now and what they've done so far this year. Their defense in the first three games of the year allowed 307, 302, and 211 net yards. And so that is not, it's not the defense's fault what's going on. Now, they got shredded by the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. So everybody is going to say, clearly, their defense, the rush isn't there. They don't cover as well, blah, blah, blah. And in my opinion, I talked to Julio Jones after this game. I really think that a part of the problem was in the game plan, was in how they defended Julio Jones. Because in a lot of ways, they singled Julio Jones, his 77 or 75 yard touchdown, whatever it was. Ben Wickery didn't have any help until he was too far gone. So I just look at this and I say we can't really be prisoners of the moment. They had a really bad defensive game, but they just simply don't believe in paying a cornerback $15 million or $14 million, whatever it was. And so far, since Gettleman has gotten there, he's been proven right in his personnel acumen. We'll see how this pans out, but no, I don't think they're second-guessing themselves over it.
Last one, Peter. The first-round pick, Paxton Lynch, played well at quarterback in relief of the injured Trevor Siemian in Denver's easy win over Tampa. Broncos coach Gary Kubiak stated unequivocally that Siemian would remain the starter. Now, is that the right choice, or is it just the safe one?
It's the right choice. I think Gary Kubiak loved the intelligence and the decision-making of Trevor Siemian, and he's got better arm than people give him credit for. So I think that Trevor Siemian not only has done nothing to lose this job, but he's really, in the last, whatever, six quarters that he played, he was a huge factor in helping his team win. So I think this absolutely is the right decision. You don't make a replacement at a position on the field unless you are trying to make your team better. Benching a healthy enough Trevor Siemian would be making this team worse.
Brought to you by SeatGeek. He's the one and only Peter King. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at @SI_PeterKing and visit MMQB.com for the most insightful NFL coverage on a daily basis. Thanks for your time, Peter.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's the final gun, and it's a wrap for now, but be sure to check all the archives posted at audioboom.com. Search for NFL Files. Check out all the podcasts for every team in the league because we cover them all. My name is Sean Drotar, and you can follow me on Twitter at @SDrotar. That's S-D-R-O-T-A-R. We'll catch you next week.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsshow.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.